나모다사바가와토아라하토삼마삼부다사나모다사바가와토아라하토삼마삼부다사나모다사바가와토아라하토삼마삼부다사
Well, let me introduce myself. Some of you have read some of my books, I've been told. But most of you don't know me. My name is Ujyotika. But in Burma, when a monk gets old, they put the word, the title, Siado. Siado actually means a teacher. In Thai, it's Achan. So I'm Achan Ujyotika. Siado Ujyotika. And I want to tell you something about myself, which is that my grandmother was Thai. She was born near Chiang Mai. So I grew up in her lap, and I loved her very much. And she was my best friend when I was young. And as I grew older, I don't know why, I keep thinking about her. She was not educated, but she was very wise. Now I understand that. She was a very wise person, very simple and wise. So I know that a simple and uneducated person can still be very wise. Wise doesn't mean just having a degree. She lived her life very peacefully. She was a very strong person. Very capable. She had 9 children. She brought them up very well. She had more than 30 grandchildren. So, she loved me very much. I grew up with her and I learned a lot from her. Most of what I like, I mean food or anything, I learned from her. And I learned from her to live a simple life too. So now I'm coming back to my grandmother's country, and I'm going to Chiang Mai next Saturday. I don't know the exact place where she was born, but just to know that this is the place where she grew up makes me feel like at home. So I thank all the Thai people also for being so friendly and generous, and also I thank especially all the Thai people for helping the cyclone victims. Thais were the first to send the relief supplies. So I take this opportunity this evening here to express my gratitude. Thank you very much. And I also thank Khun Danai to make it possible for me to come here tonight and talk with you. Express my thoughts and my ideas and the way I understand the teaching of the Buddha. I don't consider this as a discourse. I don't like preaching, actually. So it's like sharing my thoughts, my ideas, my understanding with you, because I know since you are here, you practice Dhamma. When I was young, I do not believe in any religion. So, may I stop here for a while? So that you can translate. I was educated in a Roman Catholic missionary school. And that was the best school in our city. But now, it's not so good anymore. But my parents sent me to the best school in the city at that time. It was called St. Patrick High School. They changed that name now. It's now number 5 States High School. So I grew up in a very mixed culture. There were many people around me practicing different religions. So I was exposed to all these different cultures. My father was a businessman. He imported textile and he exported timber. And so he had many friends. Most of them are businessmen. So I was exposed to many different people practicing many different kinds of religion. And naturally, I was very confused. And I liked reading very much. Since I was about 12, I started reading a lot of books, going to the libraries every week, reading all kinds of subjects, history, comparative religion, many different literature, arts, science. So when I started reading history and religion, I found out that in different places, people believe in different things. And nobody can tell who is the truth, what is the truth. So I said, I can't believe anything. This is not just a kind of a rebellion. Actually, I feel that this is a kind of honesty. It's very hard whom to believe. My parents told me different things. My teachers told me another thing. My friends told me other things. And when I read many different philosophies and isms, I hear so many different ideas conflicting. So I thought, I can't tell who is telling the truth. So how can I say that I believe something? So I did not believe in any religion. And when we had to fill up forms, there's a place where they ask you your religion. So I said, no religion. But one of my friends told me that just to say that no religion sounds very rude. You should say, no religion yet. And I thank that friend very much. He left the question open. There's no conclusion yet. So until I was 26, I openly declared that I have no religion yet. I'm still learning. I cannot decide. I studied science and engineering, and I have a degree in electrical engineering. But as I was studying for my engineering degrees, I read a lot of philosophy, psychology, and religion, and meditation too. And I started reading Buddhist literature also, because I like to read. I want a lot of knowledge. I love knowledge. So I read a lot of books on Buddhism. Of course, I was born in Burma, so there were many books. There are many books on Buddhism. But I read the translation of Pali into English, into Burmese also. So one of the first sutras that I read was Mangala Sutta. I hope most of you have read it, and most of you can even recite it. At first I read that sutra as literature, Pali literature, not as a religion actually, just as a literature. And I thought of Buddha as a wise person, even like a philosopher. So I found the teachings of the Buddha very interesting. But still, I couldn't decide that what he said was all the truth. But I like it. So I read the books again and again. And I thought about it. I still think about it. Because as I grow older and older, I found that the more experience you have in life, and the more experience you have in practicing meditation, the more profound the meaning of the teaching of the Buddha becomes. Although I declared that I did not have any religion yet until I was 26. I started practicing meditation since I was 16. I did not practice meditation as a religious practice. I practiced meditation as training, as a training for my mind, because I've read that when you become very calm and concentrated, you become more intelligent. Can you agree with that? Yes, of course, we can agree with that. So I want to be very intelligent. I want to learn a lot, really a lot. I'm still learning. I like learning. I love learning. I love knowledge. I want to find out the truth about everything in every way. Whenever I find a truth, I feel very happy, no matter what it may be. So after practicing meditation, just for a few weeks, I feel very different. I started understanding things that I did not understand before, and I can concentrate better in my studies, think more creatively, more deeply, and I became more creative in every way. So I noticed that this is something that can make my life very enjoyable, very creative, very fulfilling. So if we want to live a good life, to develop our best qualities, we must train our mind to be more calm, more peaceful, more concentrated. So after practicing mindfulness of breathing, of course that's where we start from, after a few months, I noticed that when I read the teaching of the Buddha, I began to understand it in a very profound way, because I've been reading it for a long time, reading the same thing again and again. But after practicing meditation, I noticed that I began to understand it more deeply. And it became more and more interesting to me. Because only when you can understand something deeply and creatively, it becomes more interesting. So even to read a book, you need some kind of creativity. To enjoy anything, you need a creative mind. So at first, when I read this Mangala Sutra, I read that as a kind of short verses, short sayings, very good and interesting. But I did not get into the depth of the meaning. So you know the first verse of Mangala Sutra? Anybody can just say one word? The first word? First Mangala? Right. Thank you very much. Of course you know that. So I read that. Asevanacha balanam. The first verse, the complete verse is Asevanacha balanam. Panditanancha sevana. Pujacha pujaniyanam etam mangalamuttamam. Well, not to associate with fools, but to associate with the wise and to honor those who are worthy of honor. These are the blessings, the highest blessings. Very simple, right? Everybody can understand it. Yes, everybody can understand it according to his own level of development. So when I read something, naturally, I ask a lot of questions. A lot of questions comes up in my mind. Since I was very young, I asked a lot of questions. And my parents got upset and my teachers got upset because sometimes they cannot answer my questions, which is natural, actually. I don't blame them for not being able to answer my questions. But I thought they shouldn't get so angry with me because of asking me so many questions. So the first question that came into my mind was, what does Mangala means? These are the highest blessings. I thought, I don't really understand what the word blessing means. So I went around and asked people, what does the word blessing means? Most people say, oh, it's something good happens to you. Right? Yes, of course. So I said, well, not to associate with fools. Is that something that's good happening to you? Not to associate means you do something. You are doing something good by not associating with fools. Then another question. What is the meaning of the word fool, or in Pali, the word bala? What is the meaning of the word bala? What does the word fools mean? Another question. Because most people take the meaning of these words for granted. They think they know. Usually, generally, they know. Yes, but when you read the teaching of the Buddha, I think you must go beyond the conventional meanings. We must go beyond the conventional meanings of these words. So I tried to find out what the meaning of the word Mangala, or the meaning of the word blessing, means. The meaning of meaning. What I found out really surprised me. Because the real meaning of the word Mangala in Pali is Edikaranam Wudikaranam Sabha Sampatikaranam, which means Mangala means the cause of accomplishment or success. To do something good and finish doing it is accomplishment. This is mean Edikaranam. Edi means to accomplish, to complete, to succeed. Karana means the cause. Vodi means grow. And Karana means the cause. So the cause to grow, of growth. And Sabha Sampati means to have all the good things. To have all the good things. Sabha means all. Sampati means good things. So to have all the good things in your life is a fulfillment. So I start thinking of this teaching from a different angle. This is something you do to live a good life. This is something you practice to live a fulfilling life. This is something you practice to accomplish all the good things that you want to do in your life. Isn't that wonderful? To live a good life, to live a successful life, to live a fulfilling life. How wonderful that would be. That's the way I want to live. So my friends, when I was young, I told them that I didn't believe in any religion. They said, you are a communist. I said, what do you know about communists? You think just not believing in any religion makes you a communist? You go and tell that to a communist, they will kill you. They have a higher ideology than that. But anyway, when I look deep into myself, I found out that I want to be a good person. I really do. I want to live a fulfilling life. I really want to make my life the best that I can. So don't you want to do the same? Yes. And I want to be free. I want freedom. And I want to have a lot of good friends too. I want to be very friendly. I enjoy friendship very much. So to be a good friend, I must be a good person too. I want to be a good person. I want to know what is true, what is not true. I want to know what is right and what is wrong. And I try my best not to do things that are wrong, although I made some mistakes, naturally, because I'm a human being. So I studied this sutra and read it again and again and think about each point. And the more I read and think about it, the deeper the meaning becomes. So first, the word fool. So I asked the question, what is a fool? Who is a fool? What makes a person a fool? So I found out that greed makes a person a fool. If a person becomes really greedy, lustful, he will do many things that are not proper. He will harm himself and he will harm other people too. So bala means to harm both. In the Pali words, Ba means two. La comes from the word lu. It means to destroy. To destroy too. To destroy yourself and to destroy others. To harm yourself and to harm others. So when a person becomes really greedy, that greed obsesses the mind, possesses the mind. So the person loses wisdom, loses good judgment. And because of greed, he will do something improper. Steal, kill, commit adultery, anything. And also because of anger, when a person becomes really angry, you really lose your mind. You can't think straight anymore. You can't think clearly. You can't make the right decisions. So because of anger, you hurt other people, and in some cases you hurt yourself, and sometimes you hurt both at the same time. I know some people who kill themselves and other people at the same time because of anger. And also because of ignorance. Some people, they don't know what's right and what's wrong, what's proper and what's improper. So they do things thinking that this is the right thing to do, just because they are ignorant. So we can forgive that kind of foolishness, but we can't allow a person to stay as a foolish man all his life. We want this person to learn and to change. So ignorance also makes a person foolish and keep going. Pride, envy, jealousy. When a person becomes really proud or conceited, he or she will do something terrible. Because go and hurt a person's pride and see what happens. And envy, jealousy also. You hear so many stories about people, because they are envious, because they are jealous, they hurt other people. So all these things makes us foolish. So I get deeper and deeper into the meaning of this word, this teaching, not to associate with fool. Who is a fool? What makes a person a fool? So then I ask myself, what about me? Am I not foolish? Sometimes at least. And I found out that that was the fact. Most of us are foolish once in a while. Being a human, we make mistakes. Being a human, we are too proud and conceited. Sometimes when I was even in my late teens, I thought that I've read so many hundreds of books, I thought I was very wise. And when older people told me something, I said, what do they know? They don't read books. Because I thought, only when you read books, then you learn. And just now I told you that my mother was not educated, but she was very wise. As I grow older and older, I found that out. So I noticed that I was foolish many, many times. And I did something wrong, of which I regret very much. So what can I do? Well, I myself am a fool. And how can I say that I'm not going to associate with fools? If I am a fool, and I say that I'm a fool, but I'm not going to associate with fools, how do you take it? When I had a discussion about this sutta when I was in America, I told them that Buddha said, don't associate with fools. Then a lot of people laugh. And I asked them, why are you laughing? And some of them said, if we don't associate with fools, we have nobody to associate with. This is the truth, yes. All of us are more or less foolish. What can we do about it? We can do something about it, but we can't just say that I'm not going to associate with fools. First, we must learn not to be foolish. So I read many other teachings of the Buddha, and in some places, Buddha said, there's no person, there's no being, there's no self, there's no ego. Then I said, if there is no person, no man, no woman, no ego, no self, then how can you say that a person is a fool? Another question. So I understand that conventionally we can say that I'm a fool or you are a fool. We can say that, and it is the truth. But if you look deeper into the nature of this mind and body, you find that there's only a foolish thought, a foolish desire. And a thought and a desire is not a person. It's temporary. It arises and it passes away. So when there's greed in my mind, or greedy thoughts arising in my mind, I notice that I feel very hot. It doesn't make you cool. It's very hot. When I have anger in my mind, angry thoughts in my mind, I feel very hot and agitated. So I found this very unpleasant too. Greed or anger or pride or envy or jealousy feels very unpleasant. I'm very sensitive to my body and mind too. So I noticed that when I'm greedy or angry, I say things for which I regret later. I feel shameful. So in many ways, I'm very proud of myself. And I'm very proud of being proud too. When I was young, I told people that I'm very proud. And I'm proud of that too. We take pride in being proud. Don't you do that sometimes? Yes, of course, naturally. But when I watch that state of mind, I notice that when you are very proud, you're not very friendly. You are trying to impose something on somebody. You are trying to prove that you are a better person than another person. Maybe you are a better person, but why should we try to prove that? And later when I read another sutta, another Lakhana Sutta, have you read that? Buddha said that there's only feelings and thoughts, sensations. Everything arises and passes away. So I thought, this is not me actually. A greedy thought is not me. It's not mine. It's not myself. Neta mama neto neso hamasami na me so ata. This is not me. This is not mine. This is not myself. So I look at greed. And as I get used to watching thoughts in my mind, I notice that thoughts arise and pass away, as if I was somebody in the back watching at something happening. So this is one step back. And when I notice that, if I think I am greedy, then I and greed becomes one. But if I think there is greed, then there's one step back, but I still feel like I'm watching greed. But anyway, it's a step, a big improvement. And I found that very interesting, just to watch my greedy thoughts, very interesting. And then I read in another sutta, Mahasatipatthana Sutta, where Buddha said, when there is greed arising in your mind, you know that there is greed arising in your mind. Well, of course, when you use a sentence, we need the subject, you or I. Actually, when there is greed arising in the mind, a mindful mind can watch that greed and see that this is greed. So you see greed as greed, not as a person. That gives you a lot of relief and freedom. Although you still have greedy thoughts, if you can watch your greedy thoughts, if you are aware of those thoughts, you have freedom. And I felt that freedom. And I like that very much, that freedom. There's a kind of power, you feel a kind of power. I'm aware, I know what's happening. This is a greedy thought, just a thought. So when you are watching greed, that greed cannot possess you. You are not possessed by the greed. There's freedom. So I like to be in control. People like to be in control. That is very strong urge for most people, to be in control. So naturally, I also like to be in control. I like to be in control of situations. I like to be in control of other people. And I like to be in control of myself too. So to know that this is a greedy thought gives you a kind of control, a kind of power, a kind of freedom. And I enjoy that very much and like that very much. So when I read this sutta, Buddha said, when there's greed arising in the mind, you know that there's greed arising in the mind. That's it. Nothing more. Then I thought, don't you have to do anything more than that? Because there's greed in the mind, and greed is not good. So you must try to eliminate that. Get rid of that. Throw it out. Suppress it. Or just tell yourself that I'm a bad person because I'm greedy. But Buddha didn't say anything like that. He said, when there's greed arising in the mind, you know that there's greed arising in the mind. That's it. Nothing more. So I thought, you don't need to do anything more than that. Because we feel that we need to do something more than that. Just saying that there's greed arising in the mind is not enough. That's the way we feel it. Because we like doing something, changing something. But as I practiced more and more, I found out that just paying complete attention to any state of mind, whether it's wholesome or unwholesome, is enough. It's very hard to believe that that is enough. So at first, I got very interested in greed or any other mental states. Everything is very interesting to me. Still, it's very interesting to me. I'm a very interested person. I can get interested in anything. So I got very interested in my thoughts, my emotions, greed or anger or pride or envy or jealousy or sometimes loving kindness or compassion or calmness, peacefulness. I'm very interested in all these states of mind. I want to watch them. I enjoy watching them. Even unwholesome thoughts. I enjoy watching my unwholesome thoughts. So any of you enjoy watching your unwholesome thoughts? It does. It hurts. Yeah. But still, it's very interesting. It hurts, but just being able to watch it is very interesting too. So my main motive in learning is interest. But as I pay closer and closer attention to greed or anger or even love or attachment, desire for something or loving somebody, I notice that the more I watch it, the less influence that thought has on my mind. The more I feel free. And when the mind becomes really mindful, that any other thought becomes weak. Because mindfulness becomes stronger and stronger, anything else becomes weaker and weaker. So this is meditation. And when I read this Mangala Sutra, Asevanacha Balanan, I understand that what the Buddha was teaching us is not just to not associate with people who are foolish. It is much deeper than that. Not to associate with foolish thoughts. Not to make friends with your own foolish thoughts. So just by watching it, you are dissociating yourself. And I found this understanding very satisfying. And I think that's what Buddha meant. So I have to make it short. So let's go to another instruction. Pandi dhananca sevana, to associate with the wise. Of course, they are wise people. My teacher was very wise. But I noticed that even he sometimes made foolish mistakes. So anyway, there are people who are knowingly doing evil things. We need to really avoid those people. But being human beings, even our brothers and sisters, even our parents, and even our teachers make mistakes. They are not always wise. Sometimes they are wise, sometimes they are foolish. So, in the same way, when I look deeper into the teaching of the Buddha and also my own mind, I notice that sometimes I'm very clear, I'm very loving, very kind. And I notice that mind, this mind is a very clear mind. It's very calm and peaceful, very loving. And I see wisdom in that mind too. Oh, this mind is wise. This is a wise mental state. So I need to nurture this mental state so that it will grow and it will stay longer. It makes me happy. And if we are not mindful, even though sometimes we have a clear state of mind, a loving mind, it will not stay for very long. Because we are not mindful, it will disappear very quickly. And other thoughts, greedy thoughts or angry thoughts, will replace that mental state. So the only way to nurture our positive mental states is to pay attention to that mental state, to cultivate it. And that is meditation too. And I noticed that this mental state, which is watching, which is mindful, is the most important mental state. Without this watching, mindful mental state, without sati, sati is the Pali word, without sati, it is very difficult to be sane, to be wise. So the only way to be really sane, to be really wise, is to be mindful. So, when we are not mindful, ignorant, it is very hard for us not to associate with fools. Because a foolish mind, a foolish person, wants to associate with another foolish person. Liked it. But when you become more and more mindful, it is very difficult for you to associate with a very foolish person. You may not hate that person, but you don't want to be his friend. You don't hate him. And you even want to help him to become wiser. How do you help him to become wiser? By helping him to become more mindful. So, when you are more mindful, it is easier for you not to associate with fools. When you are not mindful, even though you have read, "Don't associate with fools," that's what the Buddha said, you forget it very easily and you associate with fools. Well, let's go and have a drink. Let's go and have a good time doing all the evil things. So the only way not to associate with fools is to become mindful. This is the best way. And the only way to associate with the wise is to become mindful again. Because when you really become mindful, you are not an evil person anymore, you are not a fool anymore, and you can appreciate and understand another person who is mindful, who is wise. You are attracted to that kind of person. So I noticed that myself, and many other people also told me that, after they become more and more mindful, after they practice mindfulness, they made friends with good people. More and more friends with good people. Do you have that kind of experience? I noticed that. You are attracted to that person, and that person, other people also, are attracted to you. They want to be your friends. So this is the best way to associate with the wise. And this mental state, which is a mindful mental state, which is watching, knowing, observing, is the wise mental state. So associate with this mental state. Don't associate with greed or anger. Although they arise, just watch and let them go. Let them come and let them go. Let them come and let them go. Don't resist, don't control. Although I like being in control, and most people like being in control, we don't really have control, complete control. But paying complete attention is the way to freedom. And it's a kind of control. A kind of control, not trying to be in control. Very tricky. But that's the way it works. If you try to be in control, you get tired and you don't succeed. But if you don't try to be in control, just watch. That mental state loses its power and energy. And in Satipatthana Sutra, there's another section which is called Dhammanupassana section. Buddha said, when there's awareness, when there's mindfulness, a meditator knows that there is awareness, there's mindfulness. So at first, I felt like I am watching the greed. Greed is not me, but I'm the one who is watching it. There's still the feeling of an I. It's very hard not to feel it. But in this section, Buddha said, when there's sati in the mind, arising in the mind, one knows, one means the meditator, knows that there is sati arising in the mind. So, I try to do that too. I'm aware of a mental state, and I'm aware of that awareness again. So, when you pay attention to awareness again, then you know that awareness is also another mental state. You can go on and on like that. And any mental state is just a mental state. It's not a person. So at first, I feel that I am meditating. But as I keep meditating more and more, I notice that meditation is meditating. It's just meditation is happening. That makes me feel very free. So mindfulness is the way to freedom. Mindfulness is the way to becoming wise. Mindfulness is the way to not associate with fools. So without mindfulness, there's no way that we will not associate with fools. We may try our best, we may try harder and harder, but still, we still make mistakes. So when I put together all the different teachings of the Buddha in different places and combine that into one, I got a very deep meaning of what the Buddha meant by not to associate with fool, but to associate with the wise. Because the more mindful you become, the wiser you become. And that is very satisfying. And even that, you don't feel too proud about for being wise. Because you even watch that wisdom. This is wisdom. This is with the wisdom, not I am wise. So, you are not proud of being a good person anymore, although you feel happy about it. We take pride in being a good person, right? So, this is the way I understand when the Buddha said, not to associate with the fools, but to associate with the wise. And another instruction is, to honor those who are worthy of honor. To honor those people who are worthy of honor. So why is it so important? And what does the word honor mean? Again, I have more questions than answers. So I like to ask questions. Because mostly we think that we understand what it means. But we understand it very superficially. So I want to know what it really means. And how many different ways to honor a person? And who are the people who are worthy of honor? Can you tell a few? There may be many. Oh, you are honoring a Sangha. right.
One way honoring a person, so we make you sit.
Sit on a higher seat. Yes. Well, another way of honoring is that you are listening to me with great interest, and I feel very honored. So
with respect too, yes.
Yeah. So we honor Buddha, we honor Dhamma, we honor Sangha, we honor our parents, we honor our teachers, we honor the monks, we honor our friends too. So what does honor mean, and how many different ways can we honor a person?
Any other way to honor a person?
Give the best food.
Mm-hmm. Give him food, right? Mm-hmm. And to the Buddha, this word puja, we can honor amisa puja. Amisa means food or clothing or dwelling or things. Giving good things, necessary things, is a way of honoring. Dhamma puja, there's another way of honoring. Dhamma puja. You've heard about it?
Hmm.
To listening to the Dhamma, to remembering it, to practicing it, is also honoring. So, let me remind you again about the meaning of the word Mangala. Mangala means fulfilling, the cause of fulfillment, the cause of success, the cause of having all the good things in life. How can honoring a person helps you to live a good life, to live a successful life, to live a fulfilling life? Big question again. How can that help you? What happens to your mind when you really appreciate another person's good qualities, another person's good deeds, other people who help you in some ways, or they may not help you in some ways particularly, personally, but they live a good life. And just by honoring them, how can that help you live a good life? Because this is a very, very practical teaching. It helps you to live a good life. And that's what we want to do. So, what is the state of mind that really appreciate and honor another person? And appreciation is also a kind of honoring. And what mental state are you in when you are honoring another person? You need some wisdom at least. Some clarity at least. You recognize, right? Recognition is also another way of honoring. I recognize your good qualities. I recognize the good things that you are doing. Just being happy that somebody is doing something good is also a way of honoring that person. I'm happy that you are doing something good.
Right.
Because if you are envy and jealous, if you are very selfish, it is very difficult for you to appreciate and honor another person's good deeds, another person's good qualities. So,
sama drishti, we call it. Sama dhiti.
Right.
Right vision, right view.
Hmm. Yeah. Yes, because there's wisdom, you see things very clearly. There's right thinking, there's right view. So, when you are honoring another person, you are in a very high mental state, high quality mental state, a noble mental state. And that mental state helps you. Your own mental state really helps you live a good life. Just the action doesn't really helps you live a good life. The real mental state helps you to live a good life. So to appreciate somebody needs some wisdom. But as you learn to be more and more mindful, you learn to appreciate more of your own good qualities, and you can see those good qualities in other people, and honestly, humbly, you appreciate that, you honor that. So think very deeply about this honoring. So when you think about honoring, mostly we think about Buddha, Dhamma, Sangha, and sometimes also our parents and our teachers. But our parents and our teachers are humans. They made a lot of mistakes. Sometimes they are very foolish. So sometimes it's very difficult for us to appreciate their good qualities. So we put together all the good and bad qualities. And because we put all these things and mix them up, it is difficult for us to honor a person. But if you watch each mental state, you can appreciate it better. So, if a person can appreciate any good thing that another person has done, how would the relationship of that person with other people? If you can really appreciate and honor anything, even small, tiny things that other people are doing, you say, look, how nice that is. How good. I'm very happy that that person has done something good. If you live your life, daily life like that, go around and look at people and associate with people and appreciate all the good things that people are doing, what would your relationship with you and other persons will be like? Would that be a good relationship or not? And how would people treat you? They will like you. They will love you. They want to be your friend. We like people who appreciate all the good things that we are doing. People like to be appreciated. People like to be acknowledged. So if you live your life like that, wouldn't that make your life more successful, more satisfying, more fulfilling? You'll have wonderful relationship with everybody, with your parents, with your brothers and sisters, with your spouse, with your friends, with your colleagues, with anybody, even strangers on the street. If you really live your life with appreciation, it will make your life a real success. So to live a successful life, we need to appreciate all the good things in life. And I've been reading a lot of books on happiness. And a lot of psychologists are doing research on happiness. And they have found one thing common to all the people who are happy, all the healthy people. There's one thing common. They appreciate all the good things happening in their life, all the good things about people, all the good things about even nature. Trees, clouds, birds, everything. So appreciation is a way of honoring too. And it is very important for us to live a good life, to live a happy and fulfilling life. And don't forget one thing. Appreciate all the good things you yourself are doing also. All the good thoughts, even good thoughts. Appreciate them. If you appreciate all the good things that you are doing, you will be even more motivated to more good things. You'll be happier, healthier. You will have more self-confidence, self-respect, self-esteem. So don't forget to appreciate your own good qualities, your own good deeds and good thoughts. And that is the way to live a good life, to live a successful life, to live a meaningful life, to live a fulfilling life. So to round up these points, Buddha said not to associate with fools. But the only way we can do that is by being mindful. Only when we are mindful, we will not associate our own foolish thoughts, not take the instructions of our foolish thoughts. The foolish thoughts tell us to do something. But if we watch the thoughts, we can see that this is foolish. So we will not take the advice of our foolish thoughts. That is a way of not associating with fools. If we can do this, it would be much easier for us not to associate with other people who are foolish. But it's very difficult to avoid foolish people in your life. Sometimes it's impossible because it may be some of your family members living in the same house. So the best way not to associate with fools is not to take their advice, not to follow their instructions, but not to hate them. Don't hate them. It's no use to hate them. Don't judge them too harshly. Help them to become more mindful by being yourself mindful. And this is the only way we can help them. And to associate with the wise also, when we become more mindful, naturally we are attracted to people who are wiser. And wiser people are also attracted to us. There's a saying I've read, when the student is ready, the teacher comes. Or the teacher appears. When you are mindful, you'll find that good people come to help you. Help you learn. To honor those who are worthy of honor, just honoring shows that you are wiser. So the more mindful you become, the more you appreciate your own good qualities and also other people's good qualities. So appreciation and mindfulness also goes together. This practice of mindfulness develops all the good qualities in you. Naturally, you will know what to do. And that way, we will learn to live a better life, to live a good life, to live a fulfilling life. And that is practicing Mangala Sutra. That is blessing. Grown-up children, right? Who never grows up? A child, also, the child is childish and ignorant. Still, I think a child is innocent. Yeah, learn and grow, yes. Another way of looking at it. Right. That is very interesting, yeah. Yeah, you see, words can have so many meanings. So we need to look at all the meanings of the word and get the right meaning depending on the context. Because the meaning of one word is not strict. It depends on the context too. So when we are talking about a child, the word bala means something different. When you are talking about a grown-up person,
acts childishly.
Child is still very childish.
But
we can still help that person.
But we can
it can mean that too, harsh too. But when I use the word fool, even I use the word fool myself too. Even in yeah, this is something foolish. You can say that this is a foolish act.
But for me, may I? Because in Thai meaning, the word pan, kon pan, has a very harsh meaning because it means bad person.
Yeah, words are very... We must be very careful when we use words. But in this case, I think Buddha contrasts the word bala and pandita. To conclude our discussion... Well, it's not really a discussion because most of the time I'm the one talking. But anyway, because we have to look at the time here. We honor the Buddha, Dhamma and Sangha by practicing, right? So in Pali, we say, Imaya Dhammanu Dhammapatipatiya Buddham Pujemi. So discussing Dhamma or listening to Dhamma is also one of the mangala. Kalena Dhamma Savanam. Kalena means when the time is right, at the proper time. Dhamma means Dhamma. Savana means to listen. So when the time is proper, listening to Dhamma is also mangala. So that's what we are doing here. This is also mangala. This is also a blessing. And this also helps us to live a good life, to live a better life, to live a satisfying and fulfilling life. So we honor the Buddha by practicing his teaching. Imaya Dhammanu Dhammapatipatiya Buddham Pujemi. So let's say that in a simple way, by practicing the teaching of the Buddha, we honor the Buddha. By practicing the Dhamma, we honor the Dhamma. By practicing the Dhamma, we honor the Sangha also. So just by practicing the teaching, we honor Buddha, Dhamma, and Sangha.
In Burmese,
yeah. So right, that's right. Blessing to you. You also understand Burmese?
No, this Mangalaba.
just this one. Greeting.
So when you say Mangalaba. It's a blessing to each other.
Yeah, to see each other. So let's recite this in a very short form. Buddham Pujemi. That means I honor the Buddha. Dhammam Pujemi.
Dhammam Pujemi.
Sangham Pujemi.
Sangham Pujemi. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.